Very happy now to be joined by NASA scientist Danny Glavin. Not the Hall of Fame pitcher, but the scientist. He's here to talk about the brand new television show on the Discovery Channel tomorrow night. That's, or I should say tonight at 10 o'clock, Red Planet Rover. And it's going to talk about what the Mars rover has discovered. And I guess, Danny, when you think about it, it's the only other planet in our system that might have sustained life. I know it's, you know, full of radiation now, but when you look at stuff, you're looking at oxygen, methane levels, things like that?
Yeah, that's correct, Rick. First, thanks for having me on. Mm-hmm. I love to talk about this mission. It's really exciting time for the Curiosity rover, which, you know, after more than a decade involving thousands of people, we finally gotten to the point where we've made a big discovery. And you know, Mars is an interesting place. You know, we don't think it's habitable for life today for the reasons you mentioned. You know, you've got rusty dirt, you've got radiation. These are all conditions that are not hospitable for life. But what we're looking at in this ancient crater lake called Gale Crater are rocks that are several billion years old that still contain some of the original water when they were formed. And now we know that in addition to liquid water, these rocks have organics, the building blocks of life. And this is just a huge discovery for the Mars program and for the Curiosity team.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm. And outside of the Curiosity, I think two things are very important. Number one, if there was life and it's now extinct, those would be some very valuable lessons for us to learn about what happened. And also, perhaps even, maybe there was life there and somehow it got transported to Earth, and in some weird way we are our Martian way back, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one theory. You know, this sort of Mars, life on Mars craze started back in 1996 when NASA announced that they had found signs of life in a Mars meteorite that had blasted off the surface of Mars and was found in Antarctica here on Earth. And that's kind of when I started getting into this idea about the possibility of life on Mars. And yeah, maybe the Earth was seeded by life that started on Mars and for whatever reason became extinct. But one of the major questions that we're trying to answer with this Mars rover is, was there ever any life on Mars? And if not, why not? And what happened to all the water? Why is it such a dry and desolate, inhospitable place right now? And these are questions that the rover is going to help us answer.
The technology is mind-blowing to think that, well, first of all, in the 60s, you could send a guy to the moon, have him golf, and then come back and talk about it. But for this right now, to analyze soil, rocks, and other things, analyze that, and then send it back, I guess, just pure microwave radio frequencies, how is that possible in a nutshell?
Yeah. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, you know, you look outside and you can see Mars. It looks like a star, a little reddish color, you know, tens of millions of miles away. And we've got this remote-controlled robot that we're operating from Earth. We send signals to from Earth to one of two orbiters that are orbiting Mars, and then that signal gets downlinked to the rover on the surface to carry out the plans for the rover every day. So we actually send the rover instructions every single day to carry out science, to drive, to drill, and all the fun stuff that it can do. And then at the end of the day, the rover beams all the information back to the orbiter and back to Earth. So it's a cycle that happens every day. But very complex. This rover is basically carrying out all its activities autonomously. You know, it takes a signal about 14 minutes to get from Earth to Mars. So we can't operate it in real time. We have to send it a whole sequence of things to do over the day and hope that everything worked as we had planned.
Rick Tittle with NASA scientist Danny Glavin talking about Red Planet Rover tonight on Discovery Channel, 10 o'clock Pacific and Eastern. And I guess one of the things you have to try to figure out, too, is if some of the organic material may have come off the rover itself. I mean, it is transporting material and you hopefully not organisms from Earth. How do you try to qualify that?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the major concerns. It's actually called planetary protection. There's an international treaty which forces you to clean your rover, you know, so you don't bring a bunch of terrestrial bugs to the planet that, you know, could contaminate it. This was one of the big concerns for us, and all of the hardware was cleaned and sterilized before we sent it to the planet. But even then, you know, you can't get rid of all the organics. You do bring stuff with you. And we had to do hundreds of laboratory experiments back on Earth to really verify that the organics we were detecting in this rock were Martian, and not something that had, you know, hitchhiked its way with the rover to Mars. And it took us over a year to get to this point, but we're finally here. You know, the big announcement was made on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, at the American Geophysical Union Conference in San Francisco. NASA announced that we finally found it. We found the Mars organics that we've been looking for decades. So this is exciting.
Yeah, in my 10 years of TV and knowing how long it takes to get a show up, unbelievable that, and it just shows the importance of this, that in 2 days they have a show ready to go, which is very impressive. It'll be on the Discovery Channel, I mentioned tonight, at 10 o'clock. But what is, I know at one point we thought maybe we saw some thigh bones, and then the scientists said, no, they're just rocks, don't panic. But what would be your dream scenario outside of seeing a creature walk up and hit the thing with a club? I mean, what would be your dream scenario?
You know, my the dream scenario is just like you said. You know, you drill a hole and a worm comes crawling out or something like that. You know, we're realists, so we know that the probability of that's pretty low. But the next best thing is basically where we're at now. We found organic compounds in a rock, and we can't rule out the possibility that this stuff came from an ancient Martian biota at some point. We're not at that point yet. We can't definitively say that we found that these organics are from life. There are other possible sources. Organics can come into Mars from comets and meteorites, asteroids. But we're at the point now where we found the organics. We know that they're Martian, and we just need to figure out whether or not they came from biology or not.
How much is math going to this? Because I remember when with the Apollo missions, they said to get everything just right and to get the landing module back up and connected, that it's like hitting a golf ball in California and having it go through the window of a moving train in Florida. Yeah. I've heard like the technology in your iPhone is more than the entire Apollo program.
Yeah.
Where have we gone in the last 20 years when it comes to this kind of technology?
I mean, NASA's really driven a lot of this technology. You know, you just mentioned the mobile phone. You know, that's NASA technology helping out with that kind of thing. So these are real-life things that we use today that was driven by, you know, pushing the limits of technology. Right now, you know, we've just landed a 2,000-pound rover about the size of a Mini Cooper on Mars using a sky crane. I mean, this is nuts. I mean, you basically, the spacecraft comes down and lowers the rover with tethers, umbilical cords that have to cut. It's what they call the 7 minutes of terror, you know, getting to the top of the atmosphere to the surface. And it's just, you mentioned math. I mean, these guys, you know, sitting back at JPL, the engineers are just amazing. I mean, they were able to predict the landing, the time of landing, when the touchdown happened, to less than a second. I mean, that boggles my mind, you know, that you could calculate over 7 minutes the exact time of landing within like 0.3 seconds. So, you know, math, it's all about math and, you know, orbital dynamics. And it's just really exciting that we were able to do something like this. This really sets the stage for future missions that will require this sky crane technology to put big payloads on the surface so we can send humans there someday. And so this was a really critical demonstration that we could put a big rover on the surface of Mars like this. A
couple more questions for Danny Glavin, NASA scientist, talking about Red Planet Rover on Discovery Channel tonight at 10. You mentioned a worm coming out of a hole, which makes me think of a wormhole. And I just think about, without that sort of theoretical or real thing, how long would it take at this point? Because we heard in the 80s and the 90s, at this point, how long would it take to get a manned mission to Mars, and would you have to like cryogenically freeze your head like Ted Williams? I mean, would you have to go to sleep? How long would it take, do you think, at this point?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it took us about 8 months to get to Mars with this rover. It depends on the year you launch, but it could be anywhere from, you know, 6 to 9 months to get from Earth to Mars. So it's a considerable amount of time and space. And we got to remember that, you know, Mars it's not Earth. It's a pretty hostile environment. You don't have a magnetic field to shield you from the radiation. There's no ozone layer on Mars that, you know, shield you from the harmful UV. You get a pretty bad sunburn on Mars. And so one of the reasons that we sent this rover there is to really try to understand the environment and what it would take to put humans there. Right now, NASA's plan is to try to get humans to Mars in the 2030s, you know, so 15 years from now or so, 15, 20 years. So I'll be pretty old by then, so no chance that I'll be able to go. But, you know, for all you elementary your elementary kids out there, one of them will probably be the next person on Mars. I'm confident we're going to do this thing. I mean, we have every reason to go there now. The possibility of life, you know, it's a place that you could imagine living someday. You know, if you were on the surface of Mars and you opened your eyes up and you didn't know where you were, you might think you're in Arizona, in a desert. I mean, it's striking, the similarities. So I'm really excited about the future. We're going to do great things on Mars, and this is really a big turning point for Mars exploration.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Danny, when it comes to this kind of thing, and you got people on TV with crazy hair talking about, you know, aliens building pyramids and all sorts of cults, and what Mars means just to not just pop culture, but to a lot of people through all the planet Earth. Where do sometimes the scientists draw the line from the absurd or the occult or the fantasy that comes in this?
Yeah, we've developed this mission to go search for signs of life or habitable environments. You know, we're not expecting to find aliens or even worms crawling up from the subsurface. As far as where you draw the line, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, one of the reasons we're going to Mars is to try to figure out how difficult it is for life to start, to go from a non-living planet to a living planet. This is something we don't know. We have no idea how difficult that jump is. If we were able to find life on Mars and show that it originated independently from Earth, that's a huge discovery. It shows that, you know, it's not all that hard to go from a non-living planet to a living planet. You know, out of all the billions of stars, galaxies, the universe is huge. We're finding planets now orbiting these stars that have habitable environments. If we can show that life happened twice in the same solar system, you know, the universe should be teeming with life. And, you know, you can use your imagination, you know, about what might be out there. But, yeah, it's fun to think about. But Mars exploration and trying to figure out if life ever started there is a really big part of this.
I think it's all hidden in the New Mexico desert.
Okay.
I'm just playing. Listen, I really appreciate the time. I've been speaking with NASA scientist Danny Glavin. The show Red Planet Rover, you got to check it out. Tonight at 10 o'clock on the Discovery Channel, going into Gale Crater, Yellowknife Bay, all sorts of things going on here. And, of course, perhaps even life as well. Listen, Danny, thank you so much for the time and the insights. And perhaps we'll check you out down the road again.
Thanks again, Rick. Appreciate the time.